This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Esto es Atenea Americana.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin
this
universe.
This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Con la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Bienvenidos.
Atenea Americana.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Bienvenido.
From Stanford to the world.
The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley began its work in 1955. The Hispanic Chamber was incorporated as a non-profit organization in 1973, and it began offering services to the Latino small business communities. The founders sought to maximize the Hispanic business and economic development to increase the better understanding between the Hispanic businesses, corporate America, and the community at large. With the help of the U.S. Small Business Administration, it has delivered millions of loans, loan guarantees, contracts, counseling sessions, and other forms of assistance to small businesses in the area. The U.S. Small Business Administration, or SBA, was created in 1953 as an independent agency of the federal government to aid, counsel, assist, and protect the interests of small business concerns, to preserve free competitive enterprise, and to maintain and strengthen the overall economy of the nation. Under the umbrella of the SBA and other local and nationwide organizations, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley offers a variety of programs and services. It is a recognized and influential player in the development of the social, political, and economic landscape of this region. The vision of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley is to be dynamic, self-reliant, innovative, proactive, and influential organization that plays a vital role in the social businesses, political, educational, and economic development of Silicon Valley. They provide ongoing training and technical assistance that is culturally and linguistically sensitive to Hispanic businesses to further promote their growth and success. Our guest today are part of the board of directors of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley. They are Miguel Ortiz, Vice President and Branch Manager of Bank of the West in San Jose, and Servando Sandoval, Attorney at Law and Partner with Paul McKay, a professional corporation in San Jose.
Thank you, and welcome to the show and to KCSU.
Thank you for inviting us.
What is the Chamber of Commerce?
So the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce serves two purposes. One is advocacy for our members. And second, we provide educational programs for not only our members, but to the community in general. Currently, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in Silicon Valley is administering two programs for the SBDC, the Small Business Development Council, which is a sub-agency to the Small Business Administration. Both of those programs, one is a Hispanic satellite. This provides trainings to Hispanic-owned businesses in the Silicon Valley. This was the first Hispanic satellite that was anywhere in the U.S. Secondly, we're administering, and this was started this year, a broader program for the SBDC, and that's for the entirety of the Silicon Valley. And we provide trainings not only in the Silicon Valley, but also in the peninsula and in the East Bay and as far south as Gilroy and Morgan Hill.
And what kind of training requires a person that is starting a business?
We provide trainings basically really for all aspects that are necessary to conduct your business, whether from forming your business, whether, you know, legal entities, how to obtain your business licenses, to make sure that you're paying the taxes that you're required to pay, because ultimately, if you want to do business, you have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And we also have professionals such as accountants who will provide basic accounting training to business owners. And we have attorneys like myself and others who provide legal trainings to employers to make sure that they are paying their employees properly and that they're following wage laws, and also that they're following all aspects of law that are applicable to them.
Why is it necessary to have a different or a more focused Chamber of Commerce?
It's been our experience that the mainstream Chambers of Commerce don't necessarily provide the attention needed, for example, to the Hispanic community and other minorities. And so for us, that has been, I guess, very important.
Of course. And is one of the biggest populations now, the biggest majority. And in 2 decades, it's not going to be a minority anymore. As an ethnic group, it's going to be just part of everything.
That's absolutely true. And most of the small businesses are owned by Hispanics and other ethnicities. And like Miguel indicated, the mainstream chambers focus more on the corporate America and not on small businesses. And we're here more for the small business owners who tend to be ethnic owners.
What is exactly a small business? Because I see big companies that for me will look like big companies, 150 employees. But I think that doesn't really apply as a big company. It's actually a small business legally.
There really isn't a legal definition, but, you know, our primary focus, our customers, mm-hmm. are, you know, those who have probably less than 50 employees. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, the small restaurant owners, the small grocery owners. Those are who we focus on.
How are we, the Hispanics in Silicon Valley, in the actual action of the dot-coms and the high-tech businesses? Do we have enough representation?
Well, I think that, you know, it's there is a saying which is very true that small business in America is big business, and Hispanic businesses are a large part of small businesses, especially here in Silicon Valley and especially in California. So we play a key role in the local economy. I think we will continue to develop and play an even bigger role in our local economy. And our hopes are that our Hispanic small business owners will be able to grow into perhaps medium-sized companies or even bigger companies. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do some of the things we do at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley, and the programs we have with the SBDC.
But, you know, in response to your question about the, you know, presence of Hispanics in the .com, there was recently a news story in the Mercury News that, you know, said that Google is primarily white male, and there's a call now for the Ciscos of the world and the Yahoos of the world to disclose their composition of their employees, because the suspicion is that it's going to be very similar to the Googles. And there are other organizations out there that are focusing on making sure and trying to get the youth into those fields. And that's, you know, that's not what our focus is on.
This is Atenea Americana, and I am your host, Isabel Jubes. You may find this and all my shows at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org.
This is a bilingual cultural show, bringing you a window to the Latin and Hispanic universe. Every week, for 2 hours, one in English and one in Spanish, from Stanford to the world. You can also be part of this, leaving me your comments, sharing your thoughts, and even more at stanfordhispanicbroadcasting.org. I invite you to be part of this.
The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley has a long history here in San Jose in the Santa Clara County. It is one of the oldest Hispanic Chambers of Commerce in California. Not only that, but we are part of a longer organization. We are part of the Northern Region of Hispanic Chambers of Commerce in California. Mm-hmm. And then within that, we are also part of the Hispanic California Chambers of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, we are part of the National Hispanic Chambers of Commerce, which is a nationwide organization.
San Jose was the first capital of California. As part of the United States.
Yes, I don't think we go that far back, mm-hmm. I think we go back to the early 70s. It actually started as the Mexican American Chamber of Commerce.
Oh.
My understanding is that the reason for that is a lot of the Latinos back there in San Jose were primarily Mexican or Mexican descent. Mm-hmm. And as more Latinos from other parts of Latin America came into the area, it made good sense to be inclusive of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Right in the 70s, there were a lot of civil movements that were just coming from the 60s with Latinos and Hispanics in California.
Exactly, especially here in the Bay Area, in Berkeley, in San Francisco, and then it spilled out into other parts of the Bay Area.
International is a non-profit organization with charitable projects in the US, India, and other countries worldwide. CIWA's focus is on helping in the event of natural disasters and also providing support for refugee welfare, education, and healthcare, as well as promoting volunteerism. For more information, or if you'd like to donate, visit CIWAUSA.org. That's SEWAUSA.org. Business and organizations are in one field, like services, or there are any sort of businesses?
They really range in all aspects. We have individuals who, yes, they're service-oriented. We have contractors, restaurant owners, but we also have professional service providers, you know, accountants, attorneys who need to, you know, make sure that they're providing those services to the community. So in reality, you know, small businesses and Hispanic-owned businesses reach into all aspects of the different types of services that can be provided.
Why an entrepreneur, someone who wants to start something or is thinking about quitting and starting something, would like to start in the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I think, first of all, stepping back a little bit, Hispanics have a very entrepreneurial spirit. Individuals coming from all over Latin America have had experience back at home, whatever that might be, in having a business back at home. And so they come to the United States with that same aspiration of being able to continue to be business owners. And they are able to relate, perhaps to some degree, to an entity that serves the Hispanic community, such as the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley. And not only that, but they are able to network with other Latino business owners. And I think that's the important thing, being able to network with others like yourselves.
Yeah. In addition to that, the starting a business, especially in California, is not easy to do. There are so many aspects that you really need to know, and you need guidance. And whether you get it from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce or you go and seek it out from professionals directly, you do need some assistance in getting your business up and running. Whether it's through the permitting process, depending on the type of business you need, licensing requirements. And the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, through its educational programs with the SBDC, really gives you a one-stop shop. So you can go and really get that everything you need in order to start your business, to grow your business, and for your business to continue on into the future.
Do you also give services to nonprofits and corporation bees and other type of businesses?
Absolutely. We provide services to everybody. And, you know, all they have to do is come and register for the classes. And, you know, we have the website. It's the www.hccsv.org. Mm-hmm. And really, all the classes are there. And, you know, it has the contact information. And it's available to anybody that's willing to sign up.
When somebody goes there to your website, are they going to find classes all around Bay Area?
All of our classes are held at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce office. Mm-hmm. From time to time, we work in conjunction with other small Hispanic chambers and even with the cities themselves. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're working directly with Cupertino and Sunnyvale and Morgan Hill, mm-hmm. and they will host classes, but most of the classes are at our offices.
And today, I have two members of the Board of Directors of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley. They are Servando Sandoval, Attorney at Law at Paul & McCaw, and Miguel Ortiz, Vice President and Branch Manager of Bank of the West in San Jose.
Is there any relationship between all these movements and all these new organizations that are trying to green the businesses and teach people how to make green business and how to even get certified somehow or show that they are actually environmentally conscious? Is there any relationship? Is that going out there in the chambers of commerce? People is asking for that?
There's no real association or partnership with them, but some of the programs that we provide do focus on how to make your business green. Mm-hmm. So we do have professionals who provide some classes on those issues.
And perhaps, Servando, you're a little bit more knowledgeable about this, but we can talk a little bit more about some of the other types of certifications that help small businesses be and empower them to be able to obtain contracts, let's say, with a city, with a county, mm-hmm. with a big corporation. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And then there are certain certifications that businesses, especially minority-owned businesses or female-owned businesses, that they can obtain through the through different agencies. And that what that does, it allows them to be able to apply for contracts with cities, with companies such as PG&E. You know, utilities have certain requirements that they have to allocate certain number of contracts or monies to minority-owned and female-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And while the chamber doesn't provide those certifications, we do have the connections. We just had one of our members, one of our board members, who went through that certification and is now certified to get those types of contracts.
What about those loans or grants that the SBA gives? For example, as you say, they are minorities or they serve some particular field that is underserved.
Not only that, we actually help them in making sure that they get the funding. Mm-hmm. For instance, last year for the Silicon Valley SBDC program, we were required to get $495,000 in new loans to small businesses. And we actually surpassed that. We were able to get, you know, funding to small businesses in excess of what our goal was. For the Hispanic satellite, we were required to have $3 million, in excess of $3 million in loans to small businesses. And again, we exceeded that. So we have professionals who will work with our clients in making sure that they qualify for loans. If they're trying to start a business, expand their business, we're there and we provide those services. Obviously, we don't have the money to lend the money to give the loans, but we make sure that they are going to be able to go to a lender and be ready to qualify for those loans.
And is there some sort of federal funding that will give a special kind of loans that are like low rate or something like that?
Well, maybe Miguel can talk a little bit about it since he's with Bank of the West. But yeah, there are certain programs that are out there.
Yes, I think that first and foremost, it is very important for any business, especially small business owners, to be able to present themselves to any lender, any bank, or any other finance company with better preparation so that they are able to better qualify for different types of loans. And so what's more readily available is for any small business owner is being able to go to their bank and apply for credit, whether it is to purchase equipment, to finance their payroll, their inventory, maybe even purchase the building they operate out of. One of the government agencies that most lenders work with is the Federal Small Business Administration. And so this federal agency does have special programs that in most cases make it a lot easier for applicants to qualify for small business loans. That's just one example. There are other local nonprofits that exist with their purpose just to help get small businesses started in their initiation or going into business.
Thank you for listening to Atenea Americana, your house of culture in the radio and online. In this bilingual show, I bring you every week 1 hour in English and 1 hour in Spanish, opening a window to the cultural Hispanic world. You can hear in the intro and at the final of the show, as well as right now, music from the legend of Latin jazz, Oscar Hernandez. This and all my shows are in StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, where I wait for your comments. I invite you to be part of this. And today, my guest is the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley.
President Obama was also talking about the growing of the Latino population and how they should be prepared technologically and educationally to take over, because they are truly going to be the next population that is going to take care of a lot of business. They are going to be there, and we want the country to move forward. Is there any other than, you say, a kind of federal program that is going in this direction specifically, because it's a growing group that is going to be key for the future economy?
I don't know of any particular programs, but I know that there's organizations such as CHISPA and other similar organizations of professionals who are engineers and others who work at Cisco who focus on those types of programs. I'm not aware of any particular federal program that focuses on that.
Aside from not being federal, there are, I think, more local nonprofits. I'm involved with one of them, for example, Kiwanis International. I think Servando is involved with a different agency. And what we try to promote is education, especially for Latinos, and also provide some degree of financial support with scholarships. And so that's not part of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley or really any government program that I am aware of. Mm-hmm. But there are agencies in our community that some of us participate with in promoting education and some degree of financial aid.
Is any of your companies that you belong to giving any special regards to the Hispanic community and the Chamber of Commerce because you are involved with them? Are they actually offering some special feature?
Well, the Hispanic Chamber of Silicon Valley does have certain partnerships. The types of benefits or the types of programs really vary from one to one, but we do partner up with, you know, different banks, with other companies to provide some access to our members to services or products. For instance, one of our biggest partners now is Constant Contacts, and that's, you know, one of the types of classes that are taught to our clients or customers is how to use social media to advertise their businesses. Mm-hmm. And so organizations or companies like Constant Contacts and others will partner up with us in providing those types of trainings to businesses.
Do you provide bilingual training?
We actually provide both classes in English and in Spanish. It is my understanding that last year and this year, the classes have been 50-50, 50% in English and 50% in Spanish. I myself teach a class both in English and then a separate class in Spanish.
If I'm starting an idea about a business, maybe I could go and have my own landscaping company, but I have no idea where to start. Or maybe I could do... I have an idea for an app and I think I know how to do it. Where do I start? The first step could be go to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and say, what do I do? Where do I start?
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea for them to come and see us and start taking some of the classes that are being offered so they can understand what they need to do. Because in reality, what one person may need to do to start their business may be completely separate from someone else. Because if somebody wants to start up their landscaping company, there may not be as much setup steps they need to follow. Whereas somebody has an actual idea, a concept that we're talking now about intellectual property, they may need different types of services and assistance in making sure that their ideas are being protected from an intellectual property standpoint.
YouBelong is an organization that helps mobilize individuals for volunteering and educational opportunities designed to advance international development efforts and promote cross-cultural understanding. Participants have the choice of 1 week to 6 months immersion placement in Latin America or Asia, or 2 week expeditions to learn about international development issues. For more information, visit youbelong.org. That's UBELONG.ORG.
And today, my guest is the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley.
What inspired you to say, I'm going to take some time after work, after my 40-something hours of work, and get involved with this and be part and not just be part, actually lead and organize people in doing this?
Well, Isabel, I think that's an excellent question. And we talk about this sometimes in some of our meetings. And so, yeah, first of all, all of us at the Board of Directors of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley are volunteers, unpaid volunteers. And, for example, for myself, I want to give back to the community. That's one of the reasons. And also, my employer wants to give back to the community. So there's two reasons why I am able to participate to some degree with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and similarly for me, it is an issue of giving back to the community. But not only that, it's making sure that small business owners who want to make this their living, because this is really what it is. This is how they provide for their families, is to make sure that they are doing it correctly and make sure that they have a voice out there. Because, again, as I said earlier, not only do we provide the trainings, we are also advocates for them. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times in our cities, in our state, small businesses, especially ethnic-owned businesses, are ignored. And so we provide that advocacy for them, and that is really something that inspires me, is making sure that they have a voice.
What kind of trouble can get someone who just say, I'm going to start my landscaping company tomorrow, I'm just going to go to the city hall, ask, file, and the day after tomorrow I'm in somebody's house because I have this contract?
Well, at least that person took those steps to at least get their license and get started. There's other people who don't even do that. But some of the biggest issues that arise for small business owners, whether they're a landscaping company or a restaurant or house cleaning company, one, they don't know how to properly compensate or pay their employees. And the penalties for that can get so expensive that I have had clients who have had their businesses for 20 or 30 years and never had any problems, fortunately. And it took one employee who said, you're not doing this right. I'm going to go to the labor commissioner. And now that person is having to shut down their doors and shut down their business because of all the potential penalties and the liabilities that they've created. Mm-hmm. So it is something that could really injure their livelihood if they don't do it right.
I'll give you another example. Let's say we have a successful business owner, and again, it can be any type of industry. A lot of our small business owners tend to be cash-based businesses. And let's use one of the examples, and that is a landscaper, a restaurant. They're cash-based, and maybe they don't know any better as far as being able to properly record and report their earnings. So number one, they could experience income tax problems down the road. Number two, if they come to the bank and they don't have a tax return or a good quality tax return, it sort of prevents them from being creditworthy and being able to borrow to grow their business.
For example, if they don't keep good records of where the money's coming, and then you have this bank account in name of this company with some amount of money and nobody knows where it came from.
Yeah, and one of the issues that I see a lot with some of the clients who especially are doing cash basis is the fact that after a number of years, the unemployment department, the EDD, comes in and does an audit. Mm-hmm. And they haven't been paying payroll taxes. Mm. And now all of a sudden they're facing a potential tax liability of a couple hundred thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. That's, very important to make sure. One of the classes that I teach is talks about legal formalities for a business and how to protect yourself as a business owner. Mm-hmm. And I make three general recommendations, and those three recommendations is have a good attorney, have a good accountant, and have a good insurance agent. Because exactly. That's you need that professional assistance in order to make sure that you're protecting yourself.
When you work for a bigger company as a consultant, you also see the disparity that what they're paying you and what they're charging, maybe five times more. And you say, hey, what's happening here? But as you say, a lot of that goes to your computer, your tax returns, everything that the employer has to pay. And then you add that the winnings of the company.
That's correct. That's correct. Because, while a company may be charging a certain amount, at the end of the day, the profits may be very, very small because of all the expenses that come along with operating that business. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of people who start their business try to avoid some of those costs of doing business. And in the long run, it doesn't pay off. Mm-hmm. You get the other issue that I see a lot is companies who, especially, roofing companies or anything else that's really where there's a potential for employees to injure themselves, mm-hmm. and they don't obtain proper workers' compensation insurance. And then an employee gets injured, and now they don't have insurance. And now not only do they have the medical bills, but you also have all the penalties that the California government is going to impose on you for not having workers' comp insurance.
And if it's a roofer company, one of the most liable things that you can do in a construction is anything that is related with waterproof.
That's correct.
That's what everybody in the construction business is afraid of.
That's correct.
Water.
That's absolutely
right.
So
you do
right.
need some liability insurance there yes. anywhere.
This is Atenea Americana, and I am your host, Isabel Jubes. You may find this and all my shows at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. This is a bilingual cultural show bringing you a window to the Latin and Hispanic universe. Every week for 2 hours, one in English and one in Spanish, from Stanford to the world. You can also be part of this, leaving me your comments, sharing your thoughts, and even more at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. I invite you to be part of this. And today, my guest is the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley.
Your companies, they also support your cause. They support your cause somehow, allowing you to give time to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. They also help with some maybe pro bono work. The kind of things?
Absolutely. I mean, especially my firm. I mean, I donate my time, as Miguel indicated. I do get the opportunity to do that with my company, with my firm. But in addition to that, we do provide other assistance, such as legal assistance to the chamber. And we also provide, some sponsorships to some of the events that the chamber hosts.
My company, the Bank of the West, the bank that I work for, like many banks, are required as part of their charter to support the communities they do business in. Our responsibility consists of an act called Community Reinvestment Act. And that type of responsibility entails a variety of actions. First and foremost, being able to lend in these communities that perhaps may be considered low income communities for housing purposes to accommodate our low income populations, being able to support and fund programs, nonprofits, in their cause that they have their goals in supporting, let's say, the underprivileged or the youth. Mm-hmm. So the bank does have a department, and its purpose is to ensure that the company has these type of activities and commits funds to these sectors of the community.
Did you know that only 9 out of 100 students who started freshman years in an urban high school receive a college degree? The Math Teacher Residence Program is out to change that. Boston-based Math Education trains committed first-year teachers to work effectively in inner-city classrooms. Since the program began, 100% of its graduates have been hired as urban school teachers across the country. If you're interested, you can learn how to join Match Teacher Residency by visiting matcheducation.org.
And today, my guest is the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley.
If you are like a sole proprietor, some people say, well, why should I go and have limited liability company or something like that? Some people say, well, depending on how big you are and how much liability, maybe you need an insurance instead of a LCC. So all those sort of questions, how big do I need to be to make a bigger deal of what I am, or how small I am before I have to move forward to the next step, incorporate? Those are the kind of questions that I suppose people comes to you.
Absolutely, and that's one of the classes that I teach, especially on those types of issues. You know, we get questions all the time. You know, should I form a corporation? Should I set up an LLC? You know, should I do a, you know, if I'm going to form a partnership, you know, how should I do it? There are so many different variables that go into, you know, making a decision as to whether or not you want to incorporate. And some of those factors, as you mentioned, is, you know, how big is your company? How much liability is there? Sometimes I get questions, you know, calls from individuals who want to set up a corporation. I say, you really don't need it. You don't need to pay me, you know, X amount of dollars to set up a corporation because there's no liability. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's, you know, it really is an individual assessment that needs to be made. But that is some of the types of information that we provide to our customers to make sure that they make an informed decision as to which option is the best one for them.
A few months ago, one big rule change for a lot of moms who wants to come back to the workforce, which now you are able to sell food made at your own house without having to build a commercial kitchen in your house and be certified by the health department, which is actually impossible for a normal family to do. These kind of little businesses, like, a neighbor who wants to start selling bread, or she makes great cakes, or she does empanadas, and she thinks that, I don't know, she has a network of friends who love empanadas and go and buy them. Do they need a company? Do they need to go and find Chamber of Commerce? Is that a cash business? How do they do that?
Well, ultimately, it is a business, and that is, you know, whatever sales they have is going to be considered income, and so they want to make sure that they're reporting it properly. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they should form a corporation or not, you know, it's an individual assessment. You know, there is some liability in selling food because somebody might get sick from the food that you're selling to them. But you may not need to form a corporation. Maybe the only thing you need is to make sure you have proper insurance coverage for those types of situations. Mm-hmm. And again, those are the types of assistance, the questions that we can assist in answering for those individuals. Mm-hmm. Another program that the Hispanic Chamber of Silicon Valley is doing is we teamed up, or we got a grant from the Health Trust. Mm-hmm. And part of that grant is to assist primarily, you know, mom and pop, the corner stores, on how to, you know, setting them up so they can sell fresh vegetables from their stores. And so part of that grant money is getting them money so they can invest in the refrigeration that's needed in order to sell those types of products. Mm-hmm. And there's another program that's part of the Health Trust grant is setting up cart vendors selling fruits and vegetables from their carts. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably start seeing them soon. They just had their first graduating class for those. Mm-hmm. And they get trained on proper food handling and, you know, making sure that the product that they're going to sell is ultimately fresh and healthy.
These mobile trucks that sell food, I remember listening to one mayor once that he was complaining that these people just found a loophole not to pay the required taxes and support their local communities. How does it work? Do they really go everywhere and they are stamped of some taxes because they don't have a place?
Well, realistically, legally, they are required to have a business license just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. I think lately what's been happening is there's so many out there that are coming up that they just don't have enough inspectors to go out there and do that. And so, you know, some of the complaints that some of the business owners were having was we're having to pay rent for us to be able to have our restaurant here. They're not paying rent, and they're setting up right in front of me, and they're taking away my client base. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of that going on. It seems that these mobile food trucks is something that's here to stay. Mm-hmm. You have these, you know, organized events, the mobile feast events that they all set up in a certain parking lot, and see people seem to want that. So mm-hmm. obviously some cities may need to revise their ordinances to make sure that they catch up with the times.
Is there any comment or invitation that you would like to give to people who are thinking but is not sure about joining, or maybe they already have their own business but they are not doing very well and they don't know how to do it better?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, please visit our website. Again, it's www.hccsv.org. Mm-hmm. You'll find information there about all of our trainings and classes that we have. And also, once a month, we host a business mixer for business owners to network with each other. And that information, you can also find that there. And if you have any questions, our contact information is on there.
What kind of networkings do you guys do?
Well, the monthly mixers that we have, part of our of our purpose at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Silicon Valley is to promote business growth for our members. And one of the activities we have is these monthly business mixers so that small business owners can exchange information with each other and hopefully do business with each other over time. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole purpose, just to promote that they are able to do business with each other. Whether there'll be competition with one another, I suppose there could be some of that. Mm-hmm. But our membership is varied in different industries, such as contractors, gardeners, restaurants, stores. So there is a good mix. And so that is the purpose. And perhaps, you know, I want to extend an invitation to anyone listening to this program to, you know, come and see us, come and visit us and try this out. I want to extend an invitation to you, maybe come out at some of these functions and be able to get a hands-on experience.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Absolutely. And also, you know, we do have some more formal type of networking groups. Mm-hmm. We have currently three networking groups. And their whole function is we have individuals from one sector. You know, we have maybe one attorney, one insurance agent, one financial planner, one contractor. And they meet every 2 weeks. And their whole concept is we're going to meet and we're going to meet with each other and get to know each other, and we're going to refer business to each other. Those are more formal type. Obviously, it takes more commitment from the individual members who want to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's proven to be successful. We have 3 networking groups. A few of those have been together for a very long time, and they're very successful. And they've generated a lot of business for each other. So if that is something that somebody out there is also interested in, that information is also on our website.
That's a great incentive for everybody.
Yes.
I wanted to thank you for taking some of your very valuable time to come out here and talk to us and reach out to the community, because I know they are there listening to us and a lot of them have questions.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you for having us, Isabel. And again, please come and visit us.
Sure, I will. Okay. I will. And tell everybody about that later.
Yes.
And this was Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Esto fue Atenea Americana.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture. On the air and online.
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Yu.
Isabel Jubez.
Vuelve pronto.
Atenea Americana.
From Stanford to the world.
See you later.
Remember to come back soon.
Te vemos pronto.
We'll be here.
Ciao.